The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Seeing things you people wouldn't believe.
Talk to God. Let's go see him
you're of a certain vintage, an excellent vintage, perhaps one of the best, that individual holding an AK aloft shouting, Wolverines, defined your generation, at least filmically. That's why there is a clip in the beginning of every single episode of Making Movies Great Again that has a portion of this movie we are about to review. It may have taken us a few months, but we're here. It's 1984's Red Dawn by the great John Milius, and it's even better that for the first time in radio and televisual history, my co-host, the one, the only Mr. Reagan, is in studio, Chris Coles with an S. Welcome in studio.
He said Chris Cole the other day, and I was like, Coles with an S.
Yeah. I will never do that again. Chris, how come you're in the swamp? What's going on, man?
Well, there's a little thing called CPAC going on right now. And
You didn't want to come, right, to CPAC. You're like, oh, no.
When we finished shooting the last episode of this, you go, you're going to CPAC, right? Mr. Reagan, you're coming to CPAC. I'm like, no, I'm not coming to CPAC. I'm sick of that stuff. I'm sick of those guys. I'm sick of those people. And you're like, no, you're coming. You're coming. You're going to go. I'll get you a ticket. I'll bring you in. And you can stay at my place. And I'm like, well, I guess I have to now. So, now I'm here.
And
you have the perfect explanation of why people should come to CPAC and come to events in which there are conservatives and like-minded people, people who want to see the world better again. You say it recharges your batteries.
Yeah, it recharges batteries.
It's exactly right. Because, and I've talked about this, in another segment of your show, I said, I feel like you see people that you don't know, in real life, just regular folks in America who want to see the country improve, that want to see the quality of life of people improve, that want to bring morality back to America, and things like that. It's a very touching thing. It's very nice. It's very nice to see these people, and it does recharge your batteries.
Yeah. But don't go if you don't like taking selfies.
I know. This guy, if you walk through CPAC with Sebastian Gorka, it is like, it's like piranhas going after a lamb.
No, piranhas eat things. It's like the little fish that nibble at your feet.
But people swarm you. You can go 5 feet, and then there's somebody else. Can I get a selfie? 5 feet. Can I get a selfie? 5 feet. Can I get a selfie? And the people are amazing, though. And you are very generous with your time and your energy, and you talk to everybody.
Doesn't cost me a penny. That's what I say. And not only that, we've got another member of the team. Is he in the room? Can we show the newsroom? Let's show us our control room. Where's his brother? John Coles, give a wave in the back. And what's the shirt you're wearing? Show us the shirt. Did you pay him to wear your merchandise on my show, the Mr. Reagan t-shirt?
He came into the room last night and he's like, hey, should I wear this? And I'm like, yeah, of course you should wear it.
He's going to be walking around CPAC wearing that as well. That's amazing.
He's a good brother. He's a good brother.
Clearly, clearly. He's a respectable one. All right, should we do some work today?
Yeah, let's talk about the movie.
All right, so I dread asking this because I get the wrong answer so often with you. Had you seen this movie?
I had seen Red Dawn, yes. Okay. We're doing Red Dawn, ladies and gentlemen.
By?
The great John Milius.
Let's show the picture of me and Chris this morning in my home at the headquarters. This is the original theater poster, like thick card, of Red Dawn, signed by the director and writer John Milius, because we know, and you met her, Amanda Milius.
Amanda Milius, John Milius' very impressive daughter.
Who's also a director.
Who's also a director. She's done some amazing films. If you've not seen her films, I highly recommend them.
Yeah.
Friend of Sebastian Gorka.
Yeah, a Trump appointee. She's in the State Department.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just a cool person.
And we have that poster. So this is a personal one for me. I'm a huge fan of the general. They had to address him on set as General Milius, the actor.
I saw that.
Not the behind the scene documentary
that you forced me to watch. I did hear that. Yeah, that's right. Cool though. I think that's cool.
So give us initial thoughts on this movie.
You know, I didn't grow up with this film. It's a bit of a violent film. So
it's tough.
Yeah, it's a tough film. It's a very, I will say, philosophical film more than anything.
It's not. It was accused of being like this rah-rah pro-war. It is not a pro-war movie.
No. Right. It's a thinking man's film, and if you're not thinking, then I suppose you could perceive it that way. But no, it's a philosophical film, and so I didn't see it when I was a child. I didn't grow up with it. It wasn't a big part of my childhood, but I saw it as an adult. I had a buddy of mine. He presented me, my buddy Kurt, who I mentioned sometimes on my show.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big movie buff. We're talking one day about films, and he starts talking about the plot of Red Dawn. And I'm saying, wait, the Russians invade America, like rural America in the 1980s?
Yeah.
I'm like, how have I never heard of this movie? I just loved the premise. So I watched the film, and I thought, wow, what an underrated film how could I have never heard of this? 1984. It looks even a little bit older than that in my mind because it was set in rural America.
Yes.
And so there's nothing about it that screams like trendy 1980s.
No.
Rural 1980s was more sort of like late 70s.
You know?
And that was true in my household as well because I didn't grow up rich or anything. And if you grew up, you know, sort of like lower middle class in America in the 1980s, everything you owned, every piece of furniture you owned was actually from the 70s.
Right.
Right, and this film reflects that well, I think. Yeah.
And also the town. There's nothing. Here we have the opening scene, and I looked at my watch. The scene of the Soviet paratroopers landing as the teacher's giving this lecture on Genghis Khan and the hunt, and they decimated. Even the insects were decimated before Genghis Khan.
Right,
and then he just walks out into the field, and the Soviet trooper has an RPK, a light machine gun, and just hammers him from about 30 feet. The first 5 minutes, I looked at my
much happens.
Milius doesn't wait a second. He doesn't build up the characters. He doesn't have this bucolic, here is the town. 5 minutes of high intensity violence in a high school.
But it was so brilliant. And this kid dying, that was
actually hanging out the window.
That was heavy. Tough. At the very beginning. And the teacher dies, and you like the teacher.
Yeah.
Because you can tell immediately he cares about his students.
Well, and everybody's had that teacher, right?
Everybody's had
that
teacher.
The big guy who cares.
The big guy who cares, yeah. Right. A little bit like our host, Sebastian Gorka.
I have the tweed jacket. I will be wearing that tweed jacket later, but I will not be shot by Soviet paratroopers. All right, the film is Red Dawn, 1984, by the great John Milius, the man who brought us Dirty Harry. Uncredited on numerous films, he fixed the garbage dialogue for The Hunt for Red October. He gave us Conan the Barbarian, just an absolute legend in the community. We salute you as we begin our review. We are talking Red Dawn with Mr. Chris Coles. He is Mr. Reagan, also Alpha Critic. You've got to follow him right now on YouTube. You've got to go to Twitter, Mr. Reagan USA. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, making movies great again. If you like what we do here, make sure you never miss. You don't have to watch us. Some people don't. Some people listen to us on podcasts. Is it true, right?
Yeah, we ran into a guy. I was like, I love your making movies great again thing. And Sebastian Gorka.
And you're standing right next to me.
And he says, that's the co-host. And he goes, oh, I just listen.
Yeah. You can listen. I mean, we have a televisual feast. We have clips from the movies, thanks to Eric. And today it's going to be a bonanza. But you can listen to us. How do you do that? Just go to your favorite podcast platform, whatever it is, Spotify, Apple Podcast. Punch in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. It costs you, well, the price is right, absolutely nothing. But in exchange for this content we provide for you every single day, be so kind as to leave us a 5-star review. It does help with those dastardly algorithms. And also, if you are America First, you should wear America First. You should have America First in your pocket. We listened to President Trump on Saturday at CPAC. MAGA is back, Trump 2024. Check out all our America First gear made in America. MAGA returns, sebgorkastore.com. Hottest selling item, sadly, is still our FBI t-shirt, but this time it stands for Fascist Bureau of Intimidation. Get yours today. The challenge coin as well. You called in, you said, we need an America First challenge coin with the president's face on it. Well, we made it. Get yours today, sebgorkastore.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorkastore.com. Every day when I pass a mirror, I still can't believe it. It's me! I'm looking back at myself. I never thought I'd be this fit again, but 42 pounds ago, I decided to take control of my health. And with the help of my PhD weight loss and nutrition, I'm so glad I did. The program is simple. Dr. Ashley Lucas and her amazing team customize a plan for your body to make it simple. They even provide 80% of your food at no additional cost. They treat your entire person as one. Dr. Ashley believes that all change starts with the mind. She'll help you to change your behavior when it comes to food and think differently about food so you'll never gain the weight back. Give them a call right now at 864-644-1900 and they can answer all your questions. If I can do it, you can do it. Dear friends, you were absolutely amazing with regards to the assistance that we have provided through Food for the Poor for those suffering in Turkey and Syria as a result of the earthquake that killed over 36,000 human beings. Now we are going back to helping those in our hemisphere far, far closer to home. We have a billion people who are living in poverty and children are suffering who will go to bed tonight hungry. Let's do something about it. Let's help them out. Just listen to this incredible girl, Sarah, here in America, and explain to you why she donated from her pocket money to Food for the Poor.
I just wanted to say I really admire your work with Food for the Poor each year. I have an envelope that I keep on my nightstand, and each time I do get some money, I put a little bit away throughout the year, maybe like a dollar or two. It's for Food for the Poor. And so this year I saved up $80 to give, and I'm not saying any of this to brag. I just wanted to encourage your listeners. If you can just spare a little bit, that would be good. Bye.
If she at 16 can spare $80, will you help these children who have done nothing to deserve their fate? A one-time donation of $72, because Food for the Poor has the food, they just need to get it to these children, will feed two of them for a year. If you donate just once, $144, that's four children who will be fed for a whole year. Make a difference today. You're literally saving lives. Go to our website. Easiest way to do this is to go to sebgorka.com. Click on the Give Food, Give Hope banner. If you prefer, you can call in your tax-deductible donation to 855-330-4673. That number again, 855-330-4673, or just go to sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Give Food, Give Hope banner. God bless every single one of you. All right, Chris, let's start with the stars. Let's talk about the acting, the fact that these were kids. It was the first movie for Charlie Sheen. Yeah. Swayze is the lead as Jed. Talk to us. As an actor, talk to us. The performances.
Yeah, I mean, these guys were young. You know, they were all young. In the behind-the-scenes documentary, they're all talking about how they didn't know what they were doing. You know, Swayze was the only one with any real experience, and so he kind of quasi-trained the other actors
and,
on set.
And Milius said to Swayze, pulled him off and said, I'm the general, you're my lieutenant. So I'm not going to talk to these kids.
Yeah.
You're in charge. This is, you know, you are in the wilderness, in the mesa, and you have to be the father figure.
And what was crazy was that I think Patrick Swayze says he got frostbite. Yeah. And they all talked about that. Like, they were all just dying.
Right.
I mean, legitimately, like, freezing to death. But they were so passionate about making movies and being actors and stuff, they were willing to suffer through that. And it seemed to me like they'd never, ever again after that experience such a difficult shoot. You know,
this is the first thing I wrote down when I watched, because I love them. I actually like the making. I'm such a geek. I love the making ofs more than I like the movies sometimes. And they interviewed every character. C. Thomas Howell, Leah Thompson, Gray, Swayze. Every single one of these kids said it was horrific.
Yeah.
Literally frostbite. And they say it was the greatest experience I've had working in a movie. How crazy is that?
Patrick Swayze
running around.
Like, I loved every second of it.
Learning how to shoot machine guns.
Yeah, you know, riding horses.
Took them to actually shoot real machine guns. Yeah. C. Thomas Howell, turns out he's a country kid who knew how to ride. He taught them all how to be cowboys.
Which is funny because he doesn't look like
But if you see at the end, their horse handling,
right,
the way Swayze is controlling that horse, the way these people look, by the end of the movie, pros, like, you know, Rough Riders.
And that's a really beautiful thing that they did with the film, is because if you watch the very first confrontation in the movie.
Yes.
I mean, they're scared kids at the beginning of the film. The way they open it, by the way, the way they open this movie, where it's just a normal high school, and then out the window, behind the kids, in the distance, and my brother noticed this because I was watching with my brother the other day. It's just silent. The paratroopers coming down is silent, and it's way in the distance.
Yeah.
It's so subtle. It's so beautifully done.
Right.
These paratroopers come in, and you see the teacher get shot to death, and the students freak out, run. They're terrified, and then that first confrontation, they clearly don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to use a gun.
Oh, she's holding it like this, kind of falling out of her hand, the AK. Yeah, yeah.
There's a meme that's going around right now on Twitter, which is a chick holding a gun, looking through the scope, and the butt of the rifle is like up
on
here.
On her shoulder.
Yeah, and there's like a red circle here, like, look at where her eye is. Look at where the butt of the gun is. It's like, that's going to hurt.
You know?
That's kind of how you feel about Leah Thompson and the other actors in the film at the very beginning. But then over the course of the film, they're getting better and better and better. And you can kind of see the evolution of how people who don't know what they're doing in a situation which they must survive become these elite warriors just because they have to. And that's, what a brilliant concept.
There's that moment right at the beginning where they've, you know, the two brothers, Jed and his brother, say, we've hunted in these mountains forever. And they built that little campfire with the rest of the kids they rescued.
Yeah.
And some of the kids say they want to go back. They want to go back to town. Yeah. They want to go back to their parents. And there's really great delivery from Swayze, who says, I know one thing. My parents would want to be alive.
Would want me to be alive.
And they'd want you. Your parents would want you to be alive. So that moment of tension. None of this is... Well, there's one guy, C. Thomas Howell, who we see descend into this...
He starts to like killing.
He says, the hate keeps me warm, right? The hate keeps me warm. And he becomes this kind of... But the rest of them are like, even Swayze, that moment when he starts crying. He just goes off and he starts crying because of what he has become.
Endured. And that's the truth about soldiers, you know, and war. War is hell. War is hell. It's not like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've never been in a war. But you can see the effects of it on people. And this kind of an exploration of this idea of watching people go through this, it just has everything. It has the intellectual conceptions, and it also has the emotional part of it. And just a really great concept altogether.
All right, we are talking Making Movies Great Again with Chris Coles, the Mr. Reagan Channel, also Alpha Critic. One of the best things you can do today is to subscribe to him on YouTube. Oh, Chris.
Yes, sir.
I'm back on YouTube. Did you know that?
I did know that.
All right. Eric, let's put up the new YouTube channel, because allegedly you can't keep a good man down. The title is, thank you, Dr. Sebastian Gorka Official. I didn't come up with that, but, you know, that's what it is. Look for at Dr. Sebastian Gorka Official. We have the full interview, including the behind the scenes in the commercial breaks discussion with my former boss, President Trump. It's the first video up there, 40 minutes long, exclusive. We talk about the situation in Ukraine, the economy, the future, the election, DeSantis, Biden. Check it out today. Go to Dr. Sebastian Gorka Official on YouTube. And likewise, we are on every social media that matters. Oh, we're just everywhere. It's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube again, Parler, Getter, Telegram. We are also broadcasting on television channels over the top, such as Roku devices, you name it. You can download the app to see all the cool clips that Eric gets for us every single week. SalemNewsChannel.com is the other way to access that, SalemNewsChannel.com. And for my unique content, latest is my analysis on what the war in Ukraine is really about. You just go to my Substack. That's SebastianGorka.substack.com. That's my whole name is one word, SebastianGorka.substack.com. Follow us on all social media. Today, we are partnering with Food for the Poor to provide urgently needed food to some of the most impoverished countries in our hemisphere. Because of interrupted planting cycles, rising food prices, and the lingering impact of COVID, the list of families unable to feed their children grows longer by the day. But you can make a difference to these families. Today, a meal-for-meal match means your one-time gift of $144 provides a family of four with food for a year. That's two meals a day for the next year for a family who struggled to get even a handful of rice or enough corn for a tortilla. Knowing your gift will never have more impact than right now, will you rescue one family, three families, or even 10 families? Go to SebGorka.com and click on the red Send Food banner. Text the keyword G-O-R-K-A to 91999 and you will get a link to make your life-saving gift. Or to give your gift by phone, call my toll-free number, 855-330-4673.
Go get going now. Get out before they find you.
Dad, I love you.
I know you do, son. I love you too.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Boys! Avenge me! Avenge me!
The Wolverines at the chain fence of the quote-unquote re-education camp in Red Dawn. Swayze talking to his father, Harry Dean Stanton. One of the most emotional moments of the movie Red Dawn. Shouting to his sons as they leave, avenge me. Help me out here, Chris. I've never understood. I mean, that performance was remarkable. Mm-hmm. But I've never understood the Harry Dean Stanton cult. People love Harry Dean Stanton.
I didn't know there was one.
Oh, there is. I mean, yeah. Amongst a certain group of movie buffs, he's like, whether it's in Alien as one of the engineers or whether it's here. Even Milius says, I mean, Harry Dean Stanton, how can you do any better than Harry Dean
Stanton? He's a compelling guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, compelling people in film, I mean, it's a thing. It's important to have that. And underrated people. People like to support people who are underrated, I think.
Okay, you know, that makes sense. You know, that makes sense.
And that, you know, what's interesting about that scene in particular? This is not a dialogue-heavy film.
No,
and it's not like esoteric language. It's not sophisticated, you know, reams of dialogue. It's not this poetry of Shakespeare. It's these very simple lines.
Yes,
but very powerful. And everyone in this film is very sincere. And it's something that you don't even get in films anymore. People are always sarcastic. People are making jokes.
Yes.
And that's fine.
Right.
But there's something that's been lost in the culture.
There's a depth.
There's a depth to it and a sincerity There's a sincerity that you just don't get in films anymore because we've ridiculed it so much that you can't really get away with it anymore. Like, you couldn't make this film like this with this level of sincerity.
Because it's uncool to be the sincere, right?
Exactly. But it's touching as well. Yeah. Because you think these are, like, as genuine a people as you could portray in a film. And there's always moments in this movie where I think they're going to make a joke and then they don't. And they're just genuinely sincere. And I think, wow, that's really powerful.
You know? And the other thing that kind of struck me, because this has been a movie for me, I mean, iconic from my childhood. And yeah. I grew up in the Cold War. And this was like, yeah, the Russians could actually do this.
Yeah.
The bad guys here are not caricatures. In most, you know, war movies,
they're not pure evil.
Right, they're not pure evil,
yeah.
And they're not cardboard cutouts, and they're not like Nazis being mowed down in the distance. I mean, you look at these characters. Let's look at Strelnikov, Brachenko, Bella, the Cuban. Strelnikov, the Spetsnaz commander, who has the duel at the end with Swayze. You know who this guy was in real life? You know who this actor was in real life? So this individual who played this very, very handsome, forthright, compelling individual, William Smith. William Smith spoke 5 languages, including fluent Russian, the guy on the screen with the submachine gun. Mm-hmm. He was a Russian linguist interrogator in Korea.
That's why he does his Russian lines so
this
well.
Dude was actually, this wasn't dubbed, it wasn't ADR. Right. He was interrogating prisoners during the Cold War in Russian.
I was wondering about that, because right? He comes on screen and he just spits out that Russian.
Oh my God, and he does that long speech, that lecture.
Yeah.
He does that long lecture in Russia. Yeah. This is a Wolverine. We will not kill civilians. We will become the hunters. I mean, he's doing it all in Russian. Yeah. So, and then you see, for me, we have Bella, the Cuban. Mm-hmm. Near the end of the movie, he's writing this letter home. I'm about to resign. I've had enough. I've had enough of war.
They humanize him.
They humanize the guy who's invading somebody else's country, putting Harry Dean Stanton in a re-education camp. So Milius isn't saying, you know, kill all commies, commies bad.
Yeah.
We're getting a glimpse into the other side of this reality.
I once wrote a screenplay in which it was about a POW in World War II. And he escapes and he's gone through all this hell and he runs into one of his former prison keepers.
Uh-huh.
And this guy, gives him a cigarette, and he says, you know, if I was escaping, this is how I would do it. And he just walks away. And I always thought that was a very powerful idea. The prison keeper who respects what you've gone through and just says, you know what, I know this is war. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm also a human being, and I can see what you're, you know, what you're dealing with, and like maybe I'll break the rules right now. I always thought that was a very powerful idea. And it's done so well here with the Cuban. When he sees Swayze and is holding his brother dying, and he just puts the gun down.
This I was going to save this for later, but this surprises you. I mean, in the Cold War,
it's very powerful.
In the Cold War, you're like, oh no, the only good commie is a dead commie.
Uh-huh. You hate the Cubans, you hate the Russians,
right? Yeah. And then Swayze's carrying his dying brother. And the Cubans, you know, he's got his AK on him and he's 10 feet away. And the look on Swayze's face is minus 40 when they film this. I mean, these guys are freezing.
They are genuinely freezing. Yeah.
And the Cuban just actually drops the AK on the ground. He could have killed this guy who's been blowing up his troops and killing his troops for over a year. All right, we are talking Making Movies Are Great Again, coming to you, both of us, from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that thrills, pain relief that is liberating. 500,000 Americans across the nation, me included. But it's not just me. It's people like Yvonne from California. Let me share with you Yvonne's story. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Just those words, pain-free, should be reason enough for you to order the 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. Do it today. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. Relieffactor.com. One more time, 800-500-8384. Did you notice in the State of the Union speech last month, Biden doubled down on his spending plans, adding even more to the federal deficit? That doesn't bode well for the value of your money. Sebastian Gorka here. Biden's disconnected view of the economy means there will be no meaningful steps taken to lessen inflation and lower interest rates. Your cash reserves and investments will be worth less, which is why I recommend calling veteran-owned Midas Gold Group to look into safeguarding your wealth with the stability of gold while you still can. Gold traditionally holds its value when economies fail, guarding against the destruction of inflation and the ruin of a recession. Don't let Biden's misguided economy wipe you out. Talk with the good folks at Midas Gold Group. Go to MidasGoldGroup.com or call 855-322-GOLD. That's 855-322-GOLD. It's gold you can hold. MidasGoldGroup.com, 855-322-GOLD. All right, so for me, I don't know why, you know, I just was, you know, ribbing, I guess, this cult of Harry Dean Stanton worshippers, but I'm guilty of it of myself because for some reason I love Powers Booth. Whenever I see Powers Booth in a movie, I say, dude, that's a man. This is the depth of character, the drawl that he has, the southern drawl, the clippedness of his delivery. He never overacts. Let's play the shot down pilot who becomes a kind of father figure to the Wolverines.
Mm-hmm. West Coast. East Coast. Down here's Mexico. First wave of the attack came in disguised as commercial charter flights, same way they did in Afghanistan in 80. Only they were crack airborne outfits. Now they took these passes in the Rockies.
So that's what hit Calumet?
I guess so. They coordinated with selective nuke strikes, and the missiles were a hell of a lot more accurate than we thought. They took out the silos here in the Dakotas, key points of communication.
Like what?
Oh, like Omaha, Washington, Kansas City.
Gone?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That's right.
How do you like the performance from Powers Booth?
Well, here's the thing. They needed a character like this.
Yeah, totally.
Because otherwise it's just a bunch of kids, and it's crazy, and right. It's not particularly
out
believable.
Out of control.
Yeah.
Right.
You bring in this guy who says, you go, okay, this guy is a real soldier, and he respects these folks. He grows to respect them, and he trains them a little bit, and he helps them out, and it becomes a much more believable story this way.
Right.
So you need this sort of like, not Obi-Wan Kenobi type figure, but you know, somebody who can come in and like train him up a little bit. And he's the perfect actor for it. He does a great job. There's a little bit of a weird relationship with him and Leah Thompson. There was a scene that was cut out.
Where they go and make love.
Yeah,
so she, who's been raped by the Soviets, totally damaged woman, and then she latches onto him, and then they remove that.
I think they should have left that in. It would have allowed her to sort of recover psychologically.
Right.
Maybe it kind of shows that. And
then tell
really
the story. Did you catch the funny story of his death scene, what he said about the line Milius gave him? He said, I can't deliver that line. Did you catch that in the making of?
Yes, I did. And everybody cheered for it eventually.
He's on the turret. He's thrown the hand grenade in to the tank.
Yeah.
And they get him. They gun him down. And he's like dying. His death. Last words as the smoke grenade is, billowing around him, he says, shoot straight for once, you army pukes. And it's like, and he said to me, I can't say, that can't be my death line. And he delivered it, and he said in the movie theater, like, hey, the Air Force hates the army. Oh, it's hilarious.
Right. It's specific for certain audiences, but you know what? It's great. Yeah, it's great. It's the film's not perfect. Let me take a sober approach to the movie.
What? This is my childhood you're talking about, Coles.
Well, from a 21st century perspective, if you're going to have a young person who's used to computer-generated effects and everything looking perfect, not everything's perfect in this movie. Some of the props are a little old-fashioned. It's dated a little bit in terms of its special effects. But this is not a movie about special effects. And there's some cool stuff. And we'll get to, napalm and everything.
We'll geek out.
Yeah. But the film is an exploration of an idea.
Yeah.
And to me, these are the best stories. What is fiction if not an exploration into human psychology, into the human condition? What do we do under certain circumstances? And this is a wild idea. And I don't think we have enough big ideas like this anymore.
Agreed.
We'll explore a little idea here or there in an independent film or something. But this concept of World War III, the Russians coming in, the Cubans coming in, the Nicaraguans coming in, and some high school students forming a rebellion, what would that be like? Let's explore that reality. fantastic idea to do a film like
that. Does anything take you out of it? Because for me, I think it's such a hard story to write and to perform, and I never go, well, no, I don't buy that.
Oh no, absolutely not. And because they have so many characters, like you have the character who starts to enjoy the killing.
Yes.
And you have the other characters that are enduring like shell shock and having to like suffer through it. And you have brothers who love each other, you know, throughout the film, dying in each other's arms at the end. And I watched it with my brother. And we're sitting there watching it, and we're just sitting there thinking, like, could we have done this? You know, we grew up in Oregon. We grew up riding dirt bikes and horses. Yeah, we weren't hunters, but we were, you know, we were Boy Scouts and everything. So we're like, yeah, we could have survived. We could have probably done this. And we're thinking about young people today.
Yeah, my
God. And we're thinking, there are certain places in Texas and maybe, you know, but there's so many across the country. If you just watch TikTok and you go, there's no way...
There's no way they'd survive having bad Wi-Fi. Right?
There's no way that a they-them is going to fight off the Russians. You know what I mean?
He went there. All right. I can't believe he actually criticized the special effects in this movie. The props. You know what they had to do this for this movie? I mean, this is 1984. You can't roll around buying T-72 tanks and BTR armored personnel carriers. They built these suckers.
Of course.
They went to a company that took M48 Patton tank chassis, so that's, you know, the General Patton American tank chassis, and they built Soviet tanks with turrets, with guns. They built armored personnel carriers. They took the scariest thing of the Cold War, if you're on the ground and somebody's shooting at you, they took the Hind attack helicopter, which is literally a flying tank, the thing they used in Afghanistan to kill civilians. And they said, well, we can't actually ask the Soviets for an Mi-24. So they took a French Puma helicopter, strapped false stubby wings on it, like the Hind, rocket pods. And there's that moment where these helicopters come. They've been suckered into this trap where the food comes off the back of the lorry. They locate them. They send in the choppers. The choppers mow down, you know, Thompson and everything else. These guys, the amount of effort that went into this, the tank battles... Yeah. The AK-47, they use Finnish ones because you could buy Finnish, you know, versions of the Kalashnikov, but only a real, you know, gun geek like me would know that. But do you know what happened? Well, you saw the making of. The CIA saw the tanks.
And they investigated the film.
They saw them being carried on railroad carriers to the set on the Mesa. And they went to the prop studio. They knocked on the door. They arrived on that. Where did you get that Soviet tank from? And it was such a good copy that they said, can we borrow after the film? Can we borrow them for our training purposes?
So, did they really?
Oh, yeah. So we can do the radar recognition, the photographic recognition. Because in the Cold War, the thing was the silhouette of a vehicle. How do you recognize at a distance? How do you train your photographic interpreters? They said, can we borrow some of your fake Russian tanks, Director Milius?
I was under the impression that they had designed the tanks to look a little bit different. So that it, because this is an exploration of an idea.
No,
they made them
as close as they could get them. You could get them.
I just assumed that they would have made them slightly different, but because it is a sort of alternative universe, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the universe in which we're invaded.
Yeah, it's millions.
But wow, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
All right, we're talking Making Movies Great Again. It's 1984. We love the 80s. It is, of course, Red Dawn, John Milius's iconic movie. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. If you're in daily pain, if you've tried everything else and failed to find relief, do what I did 4 years ago. Try Relief Factor. It worked for me. It can work for you. Just listen to Debron from Massachusetts. This is her story. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. Just those words, my pain is gone, should be reason enough. Call them today, 800-500-8384. The 3-week quick trial pack will be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Debron, and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. You deserve to know. What if you could be the next success story? What have you got to lose? I mean, apart from the pain, nothing. Correct? Do it today. Don't wait any longer. ReliefFactor.com. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented the MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that is made with a temperature regulating thread, the MyPillow 2.0 is the softest and coolest pillow you'll ever own. For my exclusive listeners, the MyPillow 2.0 has a buy one, get one free offer with promo code Gorka. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square for the buy one, get one free offer, enter promo code Gorka or call 800-829-8468. That's code G-O-R-K-A. Go today. Okay, what else do we need to say about this incredible movie? I love this one thing. If you're a gun nut like me, and Chris can attest to that, so can John, there's this moment. Do you remember at the beginning when they just landed, the troopers just landed, and the officer gives guidance to one of his lieutenants, go to the gun stores and get form 4473. Which is the background check you have to do to buy a gun. Why? Oh. What's the message? Millis is a massive gun guy. I mean, he's a Second Amendment.
Yeah, this is a political idea of like, smuggled well, if you have this form.
Yeah, you've got the addresses of everyone who's bought a gun, right?
This
is like,
this is the trouble. And actually, this makes sense. Like, this could have even been the idea behind the entire script.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a problem.
Right.
Like, what if this happened? They're like, oh, what if this happened? This is a good idea.
Maybe let's not have lists of people who have guns in case somebody wants to take our liberties away from us.
When I saw that part of the film, I thought, well, that can't be real.
Oh, yeah, it is.
But yeah, that makes sense. Because back then they wouldn't have had some kind of like internet database. They would have had just files.
Paper forms.
Yeah.
All right. He calls himself a, what does he say? He's a Zen anarchist. When he's asked politically whether he's left or right, Milius. I'm a Zen anarchist. So he's not exactly conservative or libertarian or left-wing, but he is a patriot and he loves his guns. Okay, let's do a little bit of more trivia. Let's talk about Bella. Bella is, of course, the Cuban officer. You know who Bella is? Do you know who Bella, the actor? Yeah.
You mean, what else is he in?
Yes. What made him famous?
Oh, gosh. Okay. I don't know. We were actually thinking of this the whole time we were watching the film. We're like, what's he in?
Right.
I recognize him from something, but I don't remember exactly what.
These are all character actors.
Yeah.
He was the iconic pastor from Superfly, from the blaxploitation movie.
I never saw Superfly.
Superfly.
Oh,
he's Ron O'Neill. Right.
That's funny.
To go from blaxploitation to being the Cuban colonel.
You know what
Red
was impressive about all the quote-unquote villains of the film? They got men who didn't just look older than the high school students. They got men that looked intimidating. Every man looks like a real man, you know, like a little bit scary. Like they could give a speech and then they could punch a guy out.
Right.
And then they could shoot a gun.
Right.
You know, they looked like real men. And
Even the grandpa. Come, I've got some heirlooms to give you. And the granddaughter.
So,
that's a dude. That's a rancher. That guy's a real American.
It was creating a real contrast between the characters. Milius, brilliant casting. Yeah.
One fascinating one for me is the evil one. Antagonist who has no redeeming qualities. He's not writing love letters home to his wife. He doesn't want to. And that is, of course, Władysław Szabal, the Polish actor, a character actor, who you might recognize from an earlier movie, one that has something to do with the poster behind me. This is Władek from a certain movie with Sean Connery, where he played chess master Kronstein.
Oh, yes.
Chess master.
So it's From Russia with Love.
From Russia with Love.
Yeah, it has to be, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Spectre operative.
That's right. At the very beginning of the film.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that designs the plot.
Yes.
He's the one that designs the plan of the movie. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Nice bit of casting there.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, and he's everything about this movie is actually quite good. As I said, from a modern perspective, I do think young people, it'll take, you got to get used to the fact that it's an older film.
Yes.
And it doesn't have all the CGI and everything like that. But there is something much more real about it, I would say, than a modern film. Because everything today is so fantastical.
Right.
You know, and there's
right.
something very real about this. There was a moment when there's an explosion very early on when they're collecting the guns from the gun store.
Yeah.
And there's an explosion in the background. My brother noticed this. And it's just silent. And after a few seconds, you hear...
Oh, the time delay for the sound.
They don't do that anymore. The reason they don't do that anymore is because people always think it's a mistake.
Oh, that's funny.
But we watched that and we're like, this is better. This is better.
And there's that moment you asked me about with the massive napalm explosion. You were trying to work out whether it was CGI.
No, whether it was a model.
A model.
Because I thought there's just no way they could do one that big. Because it was a massive explosion.
right.
Exactly. And you know how it's done. Yeah. But I hadn't seen that documentary. And so I'm sitting there watching this going, that has to be a model. Because there's this napalm explosion. It's just like, ba 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 ba. I mean, it looks like Vietnam. It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's like, you know, 500 feet long explosion.
Yes. Right. It looks like real footage of real war. And I thought, that's got to be a model. So I rewound the stream or whatever, and I played it back, and I'm looking at the camera angle, and I'm looking at the camera shake, and you know the out-of-focus foliage in the foreground, and I'm thinking, that's a real explosion. The smoke and the way it goes. Like, that's not a slow-motion model. That's a real... They really shot that. Yeah. And then you've watched the documentary and saw how it was all done.
They laid whatever it was, 800 feet of plastic drainage pipe, and they filmed it with gasoline mixed with, you know, soap detergent, which is, you know, OG napalm, and they wrapped it in detcord, you know, thousands of feet of detcord, and they blew it up.
It's crazy.
Blew it up.
Crazy.
Blew it up. All right, so let's talk about the so what, the most important question of... Oh, do we have any clips we have to play? Oh, my gosh. Come in with this clip.
This isn't happening. This isn't happening. Jet, let him go.
Shut up, Danny.
He was one of us.
Shut up. He told them where we were.
He did. Now get your rifles.
No.
What did you say?
I said no. We're not doing it.
Boy, say it to you, our friend, so I may not die alone.
What's the difference, Jed, huh?
I'll do it.
Shut up, Robert. Tell me, what's the difference between us and them?
Because we live here.
Don't shoot you. Don't shoot you. Don't shoot you.
So this is not easy.
This
is not easy. So the Russian soldiers captured after a firefight, who's been hunting them down. And how have they been hunting him down? One of them's betrayed them. One of the Wolverines has betrayed them. The mayor's son has swallowed a radioactive tracking device. And they decide to kill him. And, you know, the acting there from Swayze is heavy. This is not a film that pulls punches, is it, Chris?
No. And it's supposed to make you feel something, but it's supposed to also make you think. And, you know, I keep talking about it's an exploration of an idea.
Right.
This is the way you do that well.
Right.
There's something called, what do they call it, like an ethical dilemma.
Uh-huh. Right?
This is an old idea where you work through a problem. Right. You think, okay, if you have to push somebody in front of a train in order to save 20 people, do you do it?
Philosopher's dilemma, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And I like these. I like these questions. I like these ethical dilemmas. They make you really think.
Because the point of this is it's drama, you know, the classic whatever Shakespearean conflict drama. Mm-hmm. But as you say, you put yourself into that position. You say, okay, what if I've been running for my life for a year, and one of the guys I'm with helps the people who want to kill me? Do I keep him in my circle? Do I tie him to a tree? Do I punish him? Do I kill him?
Yeah.
It immediately, you trigger this analysis that you have to do.
Yeah. These are the questions that define you as a human being.
Yeah.
What would you do? And you can't define yourself as a human being, as an adult, as a mature adult, unless you occasionally push yourself into thinking about these difficult questions. And so great cinema, great storytelling, same as great novels, it presents these questions. What is the point of fiction unless it forces you to think about things that you otherwise would not have. And so this film does that several times. There's also a moment, a little bit later on, where one of the girls is dying. She's going to die.
Yes.
And she wants the Patrick Swayze's character to shoot her, to end it.
That she doesn't want to be captured by the Russians.
And tortured and whatever. Right. And he can't do it.
He can't shoot her.
He can't shoot her. And it shows his humanity. It shows his love for her. And it also, you know, puts you in that position for a minute. And you do have to think, like, could I do it? You know, so many great moments like that throughout this film. And it is a difficult film for that reason. It is hard to watch because there is so many. It's just tough. You know, it's a tough reality to live through. But it's a great intellectual exercise. And great cinema is like this, I think.
We are talking Making Movies Great Again. Follow our co-host Chris Coles on Mr. Reagan, the YouTube channel, also the Alpha Critic. He is on Twitter at Mr. Reagan USA. Chris, what is the big take-home politically? Well, let's contrast it to this garbage remake, Red Dawn, from a few years ago that had all the right actors. Oh, Eric, tell us about, you know, the people in this movie and one of them who's trying to be super cool, right?
So I saw this movie when it came out in 2012. I was 18 years old. The fellow second from the right, for those who are watching, in the gray beanie, that's Josh Peck, who made his name as a teen actor on the Nickelodeon show Drake and Josh, which was kind of like the Seinfeld of my generation. It was a very good show. It holds up well to this day. But he was the fat, goofy nerd on that show. So then he goes on to be in this movie. He's super serious. You can see in the poster he's kind of scowling. He's trying to show, hey, I'm not a kid actor anymore. And he was the primary reason I went to go see it, even though I had never even seen the original. And even back then, having not seen the original, I knew it was less than ideal of a movie.
And not only was it less than ideal, it was a garbage movie. It was now the Chinese invade, not the Soviets, because it's after the Cold War. They filmed the whole movie, Chris. The whole movie with Chinese soldiers, Chinese planes. And then somebody in Hollywood says, we want to show this in China.
Right.
So what they did is in post, they went back with CGI, with computer-generated imagery, and they whited out the Chinese Red Star, put in the Korean flag, and dubbed Korean onto the Chinese dialogue. I mean, this is what has happened to Hollywood, Chris? Is that no moral standard?
Well, you know, they're businessmen. They want to make money. They, you know, it's Hollywood. Is it really that shocking that they would sell their soul for, you know, we care about, whatever, human rights and everything like
Unless
we're going to lose some money. And then that's okay. You can kill some Uyghurs. We're good with that. You were telling me about the new Top Gun film.
Yes.
The newer Top Gun film.
The
sequel to Top Gun. I didn't know about this, that there was some offensive imagery in China. And the producers wanted to CGI
It's Tom's jacket.
Tom's
leather jacket has a Taiwanese flag on it. From the original movie.
Right.
And so he puts it back on.
Yeah.
And they CG it out.
Because Taiwan is an independent nation. It is not the property of the Chinese government.
Right.
But the Chinese government maintains that it is. So we have this conflict, right? And Tom Cruise, apparently, according to you, and I didn't know this, great respect
Look
to Tom
up.
Cruise, he said, no, we're going to leave that flag on there.
Yeah.
Screw China.
Right. And he made, $1.2 billion in 6 weeks.
Tom Cruise, I massive respect, man. Massive respect.
Hats are doffed. Last thing we need to do is salute an actor that we just lost.
Yeah.
A guy who I loved. For me, he's a bit like a Powers Booth, or even for those who are big fans of Harry Dean Stanton. Underrated actor.
Yeah, underrated.
Underrated actor, and that's Tom Sizemore. Let's put some images up of Tom Sizemore. Died far too young. He was a really strong supporting actor in numerous movies. He was in Pearl Harbor. He was in Saving Private Ryan, Black Hawk Down. He was in Heat. What else? I'm going through the list of movies he was
in. You can't make films without these.
No.
They call them supporting actors.
Yeah.
In reality, like if you work in Hollywood, here's the thing. If you're a star, everyone just thinks about you, really.
Right.
If you're Tom Cruise, you're Brad Pitt, or George Clooney, or these guys, people think about those guys. But when you're on set, and you're just having lunch, and you're just hanging out and talking, the star might not be the funniest guy in the room. You know, it might be this gentleman or any of the supporting actors, and you become kind of a family on set sometimes at these shoots, and everybody's kind of just people. You know, it's like your family for a little while. It's like your business, and you're just there's a hierarchy and whatever, and people. You know, he had friends in Hollywood, and you can't make the film without...
No, you can't have just a star.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to have people like him. Yeah.
Unless it's the movie of the clones. You just got one actor doing everything. You need this dynamic cast, and so you need guys like this who maybe look a little dangerous or a little tough or a little interesting or a little smart or a little weak or whatever it is as a foil to the star or whatever we think of the star. And a lot of these actors are underrated and overlooked, and it's a shame. But he was a well respected guy. Yeah. I think most people know him.
62 years old. We salute you. We salute you, Tom Sizemore. All right, guys. If you haven't seen this movie, you have no excuses now. So go see it. We salute also the great John Milius, a man who gave us so many incredible movies, and Red Dawn was one of them. You've been listening to and maybe watching Making Movies Great Again. I'm Sebastian Gorka, and we've had him in studio all day here in the swamp. Chris Coles, Mr. Reagan. And what? Oh, my gosh.
I almost interrupted to say it, but I thought, well, it's over.
No, my gosh. How did I leave that out? Who's choosing?
I'm choosing.
You're choosing. Oh, my gosh.
I think we decided when we were looking at your posters.
Ooh.
We got to show that next. You guys got to get a video of the posters in the hallway.
We're going to do that now. We're going to walk out of here and we're going to show everybody.
You guys think this is interesting? This
the tchotchkes.
You haven't seen the green room. You haven't seen, like, this whole studio is amazing. It's
Thank
amazing.
You, buddy.
He's got so many great posters. We got to a poster today and I said, this is my friend's favorite movie. This is my friend Kurt's favorite movie. I'm like, we need to do that one of these days. He's like,
Are we going there now?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, tell our millions of listeners what we do.
I'll give you a hint. There's a lot of trouble in it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a small place, little place.
But it's all about the reflexes.
It's Big Trouble in Little China. We got to do it.
What do you think, Eric? What do you think? Are we going to do Big Trouble in Little China?
I know you and I have disagreed on this. I think it's the greatest bad movie ever made.
No!
It's not a bad movie.
It's not a bad movie.
It's not
How
a bad
dare
movie.
You?
It's pretending to be a bad movie. And we'll explain why next week. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head in a swivel, watch the six, hold the line, never give up, never give in.
And stay frosty.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.